And let's tee this up. Bernie Sanders won the New Hampshire primary last night.
And let me say tonight that this victory here is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
But Pete Buttigieg leads in the delegate count and last night took aim at Sanders' progressive agenda, including Medicare for all.
Americans want the freedom to make choices for themselves on health care or on any other issue, not to have Washington decide for them. And a politics of my way or the highway is a road to reelecting Donald Trump.
Third, the bronze, but a big victory went to Amy Klobuchar.
Hello, America. I'm Amy Klobuchar, and I will beat Donald Trump.
Short and sweet. Well, the previous top candidates, Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden, came in a dismal fourth and fifth, but vowed to press on.
Let's bring in our political strategist, Bill Press, a Democrat. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Robin. Hi, Jeremy. Hello, Alice.
And Alice Stewart is the one Bill is talking about there, Republican. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Robin. Hi, Bill.
Okay. So, Bill, let me start with you. What do the top three Democrats, at least in New Hampshire, Sanders, Buttigieg, and Klobuchar, need to do now to show that they can win in places like Nevada and South Carolina, which have much more diverse electorates?
They got to get to work and they got to round up a lot more votes. They have to raise a lot more money. And they have to appeal to a broader audience, for sure. You know, to state the obvious, it was a really good night for Bernie Sanders, for Pete Buttigieg, for Amy Klobuchar. But I think before anybody pops a champagne, right, or jumps off a cliff, I think it's important to stand back and realize that, yes, Bernie won in New Hampshire. But Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar together got a lot more votes than he did. So you can say the moderates showed their strength as well as progressive Bernie. And the other thing is, as Elizabeth Warren pointed out last night, we're two states down, two red states, two mostly white states, two states that Democrats are not necessarily going to win. There are 55 states and territories to go, a lot more diverse, a lot more challenging. And then there's Michael Bloomberg hanging out there. So
right.
I think it's just starting to get wild. Mm-hmm. And anybody who tells you they know who the Democratic nominee is today is lying.
But do Nobody you think – I know we're only two states down. But do you think that Joe Biden, for example, can go through the next 2 weeks until South Carolina – I mean, assuming that he doesn't win in Nevada, maybe he will
right. –
and really get through that with all the attention that is going to be paid to the other candidates and people starting to think, well, they might be the president. Is he going to be able to go through all the way for another couple of weeks without a win?
Put it this – I would not count him out. Mm-hmm. In this year, I would not count him out. I think he has a lot of strength. There are a lot of people that love him because of his record, his experience, and the fact that they see him as a more stable maybe challenger to Donald Trump. But it depends a lot on his donor base. He needs the gas to be able to run through Nevada and South Carolina.
Okay. Well, Bill, first of all, Democrats in New Hampshire would say we're a purple state. But Alice, just to you, because both Klobuchar and Buttigieg are saying they can draw support from Republicans and independents. Now, we met a lot of Republicans in New Hampshire looking for a candidate that was not Donald Trump. Again, New Hampshire, a little purple. These might be old school Republicans, not at all the Trump base. But do you think that's going to be a factor, the fact that they can offer people outside the Democratic Party, they are saying they can, a candidate?
It certainly is an argument they can make. They are more moderate. They certainly have shown they have the ability to connect with voters and are a contrast from what we're seeing with regard to the direction of the Democratic Party. There's no denying that Sanders' performance in New Hampshire has painted a picture that his progressive policies are part of the Democratic Party's mainstream ideology, at least for now. I do expect that to change because a lot of what we're hearing and the polls are indicating is that Democratic Party, while they have a large voice on the progressive side, they also have a strong voice on the moderate side, hence the strong performance of Buttigieg and Klobuchar. Yesterday was a big victory for Sanders and for Buttigieg and Klobuchar. It was a huge wake-up call for Joe Biden. He needs to really scramble and get his act together in South Carolina. And I view it as a circling the drain moment for Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, dear.
She really has run out of steam. But the important thing to keep in mind, these first four early states – between Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. That only makes up 4% of the total delegates needed. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at it from this aspect, but we're still at the very beginning stages of a very long process.
Boy, circling the drain, what an image there. But let's listen to a little of Elizabeth Warren from last night.
Senator Sanders and Mayor Buttigieg had strong nights. And I also want to congratulate my friend and colleague, Amy Klobuchar, for showing just how wrong the pundits can be when they count a woman out.
And so, Bill, you know, there she's being very, very, you know, dignified and gracious there. But as you both have been saying, Klobuchar, Buttigieg, and Biden supporters are more than the Warren and Sanders combined. And it seems that within the Warren-Sanders camp, Democrats are choosing Sanders. Where do you see Elizabeth Warren going?
Well, first, I do think that the challenge inside the Democratic Party is the same as it was when this whole process began, which is, if you will, the more progressive versus the moderate progressive. Because, I mean, Buttigieg and Klobuchar are hardly or Biden are hardly conservative, right? Mm. And but in that, Elizabeth Warren's first then challenge was in the more progressive lane to beat Bernie Sanders. There's only room for one person in that lane. Mm. It looked like she had done it at one point, but she has not now, and I don't think she can recover. I think she has a very graceful speech last night. She's a good candidate, but I don't think she's going to make it.
Mm. Let's talk about the candidate who was not competing in either of the first two states, Michael Bloomberg, who's been spending a ton of money on ads, especially in those Super Tuesday states that'll happen at the beginning of March. And I think it's something like 40% of the delegates are going to be given out on that day. But Bloomberg was in the headlines yesterday because of some audio that surfaced of him defending the controversial stop and frisk policy, police tactics that he expanded in New York City. Here's some of that sound.
People say, oh, my God, you are arresting kids for marijuana. They're all minorities. Yes, that's true. Why? Because we put all the cops in the minority neighborhoods. Yes, that's true. Why do we do it? Because that's where all the crime is.
If you can't hear that, he's saying, why do we put all the cops in the minority neighborhoods? Because that's where all the crime is. Alice, President Trump tweeted this out. He called Bloomberg a racist. We should point out that, of course, President Trump has been accused of being a racist and also supports stop and frisk policing. But what did you think of this? And do you think this is going to hurt Bloomberg?
This is what you call an October surprise in February. And this was an effective way to put him on his heels when he has the wind at his back right now. Look, his position I didn't support. I think it was an inaccurate thing to say. He has come out. He's owned up to it. He's apologized, and he's asking people to move on. What we're seeing the last few days, he has really made a strong effort to reach out to the African-American community. He is receiving endorsements. I'm seeing you go online and social media, you're seeing a lot of black leaders and organizations getting behind him. He's making a conscious effort. I expect this to be a 1 or 2 day story and move on with regard to the audio tape. But he is gaining strength in these Super Tuesday states where he's put a lot of effort. And in Arkansas, even my former state, he's doing well. His problem is not going to be as much with the African Americans. He has a problem connecting with rural voters. That's what I'm hearing across these states where there's a large electorate of rural voters. He needs to fine-tune his message on what he can do for those voters.
We just have a couple minutes here. I want to make sure that we get to, I'm sorry, Bill, but I want to make sure we get to something that some would say is a February surprise. There are calls now to investigate the sentencing of Roger Stone. This is the friend of President Trump who was convicted as a result of the Russia investigation of lying to Congress, obstruction. Yesterday, Trump tweeted that the 7 to 9 year prison term that was recommended by the federal prosecutors was unjust. Shortly after, Attorney General Barr did another filing, intervened, overrode that recommendation. They're asking for a lesser sentence, and 4 prosecutors resigned. Of course, the Justice Department saying that had nothing to do with the tweet. But Alice, you tweeted out, speaking of tweets, that the DOJ needs to lock up Roger Stone and throw away the key, full stop. Was it appropriate then for President Trump to seemingly ask his attorney general and then tweeting again today, congratulating him for intervening in this?
It's really important to let the Justice Department do their job. And anyone who tries to intervene in the process, I think, is making a mistake. Look, Roger Stone was found guilty by all counts, by the jury, and it's important to let the justice system play out. I cannot think of anyone more deserving of seeing justice served than Roger Stone. So I would like to see everyone sit back and let this judge make the important ruling. Look, he could receive up to 20 years based on the judicial guidelines. So I think that it's the judge's decision to make and no one else's.
Bill.
Can I just jump
in?
I just have to say, I think this is so outrageous on the part of Bill Barr. He has destroyed, not just here, but even previously, this just adds to it, destroyed the integrity and the independence of the Justice Department. I think he's our worst attorney general since John Mitchell, and he sees himself as just a toady of Donald Trump. Donald Trump tweets, and Bill Barr jumps in and tries to reverse the work of career prosecutors in the Justice Department. I think anybody who reveres the rule of law ought to be very concerned about what Bill Barr and Donald Trump together are up to.
Democrat Bill Press and Republican Alice Stewart, thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
To be continued.